Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to a lovely summer service here at Christian Baptist. If you're visiting with us, and there's a few faces I'm not sure I recognize, welcome. And I think there's going to be some cool drinks downstairs afterwards, so please come down and join us. Today's a bit of a camp day. We had VBS going on all week at CBC here. And so a lot of the service is going to be focused around that. And all the songs we're doing today actually came out of the songs that the kids were singing while they were here. So I hope you enjoy them. They're kind of clappy happy. But I apologize, our drummer's not here, our pianist's not here, so it's just me and Steve and voices. So you gotta sing loud, okay? Welcome, Rhiannon. Here we go.
Okay. All right, so again, good morning and welcome to our time together today.
There you go, that's a little better.
Okay, so as John mentioned, we have a couple of special things, but I see a few of the kids here today, so hopefully you guys will be able to get up and help us do some of the songs. Let's see. So yeah, like we said, on Friday we completed our week of vacation Bible camp with our volunteers from Uxbridge Baptist Church. It was really great to have all the kids here and all the volunteers. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we had over 29 kids we had last week participating in vacation Bible camp. So it was a really great blessing to see all the kids enjoying their time with us. It was really great. So today we have Kathy McIntosh with us. She led the program and as well, I'm losing my train of thought here. She led the Vacation Bible School with the volunteers from Uxbridge Baptist Church. And she's here also to speak to us today because Pastor Keith is speaking in Uxbridge today. So we did a bit of a swap. Today I'm gonna start by reading Psalm 95 and it's going to be read from the translation called The Message. So if you're familiar with that translation, I read a couple of other versions and then I read this one and I thought, wow, this is really cool. Just the words and the expression in it was really neat. So I'm reading verses 1-7. It says, come, let's shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the God who saved us. How cool is that? Raise the roof. Let's march into his presence, singing praises. Lifting the rafters with our hymns. And why? Because God is the best, high king over all the gods. In one hand he holds the deep caves and caverns, in the other hand grasps the high mountains. He made ocean, he owns it. His hands sculpted earth. So come, let us worship. Bow before him, on your knees before God who made us. Oh yes, he's our God. And we're the people of his pastures, the flock he feeds. Drop everything and listen. Listen as he speaks. So we're here in his presence today to worship. We're here to bring our praise and to give our glory to our God and King, because he is our rock, the rock of ages. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we want to see your face. We want every move and each breath that we take to be in you, that we would show your grace to every person we meet. We ask for your continued presence here among us as we bring our songs and our words of praise to you. We thank you for each one here, and we thank you for the children who attended the VBS and who made a commitment to learn more about you and to follow you. Thank you for who you are and for what you're doing in and through each one of us here today. Pray that you would be with us through your Holy Spirit and that you would continue to be with us in our time together today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'll ask our ushers to come forward as we collect up our offering for this morning. Thank you.
want to thank you so much for all that you give to us. We're not worthy, and none of it is ours. So God, for what has been given back today, we pray, Lord, that you would give wisdom to those who make the decisions in the way it is dispersed, that it would make a difference in this place, in this community. Once again, Lord, thank you. We praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. From 1 Corinthians 12 that talks about the body, and they did an amazing job memorizing all these. Can you come and just show your... So what we did was we created tags for the kids for each day, so they would have their memory verses on them, and then they would get a puzzle piece each day as well. Things that connect, puzzles connect, Lego connects. And then by the end of the week when they had it all together, the puzzle pieces actually made a little puzzle that said connected on it. So that's how we connected all of that together. So I just wanted to share with them and with you briefly this morning something we actually shared last week at our church when we finished there, and it's the word joy. So when you think of the word joy, there's three words I want you to remember. Can you think of a word that starts with J? We actually talked about being connected to him on Thursday. What is it?
Jesus.
Jesus. So when you think of the word joy, I want you to remember J is for Jesus. What do you think O would be for? Okay, I haven't taught you it. You didn't forget. O is for others. That's a hard one. If Amy the puppet were here, she would have said octopus. Not. So then if we have Jesus and others, what do you think the Y would stand for? Exactly, you. And that's the way God wants us to think of things. He wants us to remember to put him first, Jesus first, then others, and then you, like me. Right? So we need to remember we come last. Jesus is first, then others, and then ourselves, or you. Cool? Think you can remember that? What's J? J is?
Jesus.
O is?
Others.
And you? Y is?
You.
Excellent. Good job, guys. Is there a time for them downstairs today? Or are they going to stay?
Yeah.
You guys can stay upstairs. Do you want to stay upstairs? Or if you want to stay down, there's a video, I believe. There is something set up for you downstairs if you want to go down. Okay, thanks for being here.
It's always good to meet together, and we're now going to come before the Lord in a time of prayer, so please clear your minds and hearts, and let's talk to our God. Lord, it is so good to experience Canadian summer, because in these days, Lord, we know what it is to experience joy, We know it's only a fraction of the joy that we're going to experience one day in your presence, Lord, but it's still good joy. And as we come before you now in this hour, this hour set apart that we can think on you and hear your voice, but most importantly, come together with fellow believers in a community. We think now of those around us. Each one of us, Lord, brings our problems, our cares, our worries from the week. Help us to put them on you, Lord. Know that we don't carry these burdens alone. Most importantly, Lord, make our burdens your burdens. That we're not worried about the things that don't matter, but we're worried about the things that do matter. Put on our hearts, Lord, relationships. Life is all about relationship, Lord. Our relationship with you, our relationship with others, here in our church family, our extended family, our colleagues. Help make our relationships positive ones, Lord. Help our relationships to be based on you, on your message, on your love, your word of caring for others. Joy, Lord. We do come before you with our own cares, Lord, and we're going to take a moment now in silence just to bring them before you, Lord, lay them before you, and let you take them. Hear our prayers now, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that you do answer prayer, that whatever we bring to you, you will deal with, you will help us deal with. Lord, now we pray for those around us. We pray for people we know, our friends, family, colleagues, those going through difficult times. We lift them up to you now, Lord. Hear our prayer. Again, we praise you for answered prayer, Lord. Answer these prayers. And finally, Lord, we pray for our world. There's so much good, but also so much brokenness. Help us to be those grains of salt. Help us to be those candles in the dark. Lord, we can't change the whole world, but we can change one person's world, one person at a time. Take us into those relationships. Let our relationship with you shine through in all we do. We love you, Lord. Help us to love others. Amen.
So we are very thankful and excited that Kathy is here with us today. As I said earlier, Keith is preaching at Uxbridge Baptist Church. So we are, again, excited and thankful for Kathy to be here to bring what the Lord has laid on her heart as a message this morning. So, thanks, Kathy.
So I'd rather be down here where I can be closer to you. And it's actually a bit cooler down here, too. It has been an absolute pleasure and a privilege, an honor, and a blessing to be here this past week with your children and the children of this community. What an absolute blessing. I think some of you may have met me last year or the year before, I'm not sure, but it's been about 22 years now that I've been in ministry and just absolutely still have a real heart for the next generation and for children. And seeing them find Jesus at an early age and to remain in that walk with them. And this VBS program, I just want to give you a bit of history on it. When we were praying about it and praying about which program we should actually use for this year, God really laid upon my heart that we were not to use a program that was already created, that He wanted me to write one. So I work down at CBOQ head office sometimes and help to write the curriculum for the youth and young adults there. So I was able to take the 29 sessions that we had for our youth to learn out of all year, and I was able to somehow place it, only with God's grace and his leading, into a five-day program for Vacation Bible School. And to me, it was just, it's something that's a missing piece that we really need to think about at head office, is our children should be included in the curriculum that we are writing. So I have spoken actually with head office about that, and we will see what comes out of that. He's already given me an idea for next year's curriculum, and I just really believe that when we can be involved in the writing for our children, it's just our heart that God is then speaking through and enables us to bring the scriptures to life in a really different way. God's always given me a little bit of a vision in this area as well. Whenever I have taught VBS, He's always given me a dream. And in that dream, I usually see what the stage is supposed to look like. And that's why we had the houses and the different parts of the community that connected together. So it's an absolute blessing from the Lord, and I do not take it for granted by any means. It is He that works in and through me. Blessed to have our volunteers as well. And Hannah, she was with us this week with your children. And Hannah is a co-op student, a summer co-op student that works with us. And I have three paid interns that work with us as well at UBC. And our hearts at Uxbridge are to make sure that the next generation is empowered to be all they can be. And that means that as a pastor there, I need to make sure that I am relevant, authentic, honest, and true before the young adults and the next generation of children that are coming up. If they don't see me working, if they don't see me serving, if they don't see me loving, then how can I expect them to learn to do the same thing? So that's where my heart is this morning. I've had the privilege of studying at Acadia Divinity College, and some of the recent courses that I've been involved in deal with our children and our young adults, the next generation that are coming up. And that's where I want to walk you through today. It also includes 1 Timothy passage that is in your bulletin. And that's because I really believe that if we look at the way Paul has encountered this incredible mentor relationship with Timothy, we can learn much from this. We can learn a lot as leaders, a lot as parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, in how to walk our lives out in a relevant way so the next generation will be taken care of. Before I even start, I just want to take this to the Lord. So let's bow our hearts, shall we? Heavenly Father, I do not want to be seen here today. I don't even want to be remembered as having spoken here. God, please hide me behind the cross. May your heart be seen and felt. May your spirit be felt in this place today. I am simply a servant, a tool in which you are using to speak to your people this morning. So I pray for your blessing and your anointing, and Lord, if there is something you do not want me to speak, I will not speak it. But if there is somewhere we need to dive deeper, God, just use me. I pray, Lord, that the outcome of this morning would be seeds planted in hearts that are ready, that this community would have something happen because of this past week, today, and the messages of the past from Pastor Keith spoken. Something different. God, we pray for revival in this place. We pray for people to rise up to want to pour into the next generation. We pray for people to lay down their burdens, pick up their crosses, and follow you. And we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So I truly believe that this generation that is coming up, whether they are still children, or they are youth, or they are young adults, are in critical need of help. And if you have been around a young adult recently, or a youth, or a child, I believe that you would agree with that statement. The studies that I have been going through are founded a lot in one of the Canadian studies that was recently done in the Hemorrhaging Faith. I don't know if any of you have heard of that study, but it was Canadian, and it took several years of interviewing over 1,000 young adults and youth in different areas in their life and different transitions in their life. And it's astounding to find out the results from this study. We found out that there are more young adults and youth that are walking away from church today than that are being drawn here. The good thing is, when these young adults grow up, if they have had some foundation in Jesus Christ, then they will return. I can honestly say to you from experience, our children are 25 and 27. Our one son, 25, follows the Lord fully with his heart. He is sold out for Jesus. He will go as far as to travel to the States and volunteer his time to make sure that others know about Christ. He loves the Lord, he loves people, he loves to make sure that everybody knows about Jesus. Our other son, born into the same family, do you ever go, why are they so different? Well, he decided to go off to university, and it was not a Christian university, and he made some choices in his life where he was sucked in by the world. The foundation of Christ in his life was there. And we can stand before you today, sorry, it's my husband Dave, that's why I point to him and say we can. We can stand before you today and say that he is on the road back to Christ. He has had to go through many struggles. He has had to go through things to figure it out for himself. And what we did as parents was pray. Spend time on our knees, time in the Word, instead of preaching at him. Because who better to bring him back than Christ? He has spoken to us in recent days and has said that he's on his way back. He's never left Christ, but he just could not figure out why people in the church were not who they were supposed to be. This is where our young adults are today. And I think as a pastor and as an adult, I need to take some of the responsibility in this. And I'm sorry if this will be a difficult message for you to hear, but I pray that you will take this with a heart that desires to see all generations in relationship with Christ and in church. The studies resulted in different people being categorized in different areas. We would call them engagers. And those are a very small percentage of young adults and youth that are still in our congregations. They're the ones that are involved, engaged, going on mission trips and doing things for Christ. Then we would have the fence sitters. A little bit higher percentage there. And these fence sitters are actually saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus. It's just, you know, should I be in church or shouldn't I be in church? That's who they are. Then we have the ones who are rejectors. They are the ones who are saying, I want nothing to do with this because all I see is hypocrisy. Sorry, but that's truth. Then we have the wanderers. The wanderers are the ones who have a foundation in Jesus Christ, but who do not like what they are seeing, and they are being sucked in by the world. Unfortunately, this is true. Over 1,000 young people have been spoken to and interviewed and have been gone back to, and these are the results of the hemorrhaging faith. From the moment that our children are knit together inside of us, we have this excitement. And the fathers of those children get them to be involved in that excitement when you might feel the first kick. And then as the child is born, because we have prayed for a healthy child, we have prayed that they will come and be a part of the church, etc., etc., we decide to bring our children before a congregation in something that we call dedication. Because we feel then that baptism is something that should come when they have that time of coming to Christ on their own. Churches, we stand up when we dedicate a child and we say, yeah, I'll help. I'll be involved. But are we? And I do not say this just to you, but I have spoken this to many congregations, and I say it to myself. Are we standing up when we dedicate our children with true hearts and saying, yeah, I'll help? Because it takes more than one to raise a child. It takes Jesus, and it takes an entire family, and then the family of God. We need to stand firm on the promises of God. We need to understand that every single transition that child will go through is something that someone needs to be there with them and help them through it. If we would realize that this generation is struggling, I think we would understand far better why they were struggling if we looked at ourselves. I've had to get on my knees, I've had to read the Word, I've had to study the Word, actually travel to Acadia to fully understand exactly why these kids are where they're at. I believe that part of the reason is because of us, and I'm just being very honest. We have made this mistake in our own family where we've given them too much. Some of us have been raised in homes where we didn't have a lot, so we felt that our kids needed to have more than we did. May I say this? A cell phone, a video game, videos on the TV or on the computer, Twitter and Facebook and these different things, skateboards, whatever it may be, are not a replacement for the Word of God and sitting with your child and teaching them the truth and the ways of the Lord. We need to recognize that we need to spend time with our children at a young age. Spend time again with them when they're 10 to 12. Remain in that time with them through the difficult times, such as teenagers. People have said to me, I go through so much when my kid is 1 or 2 years old, and I say, just wait. When they're little, the problems are little. As they grow into teenagehood, it gets worse, and young adulthood hits, and man, some of the problems they come with. They're expensive, and they're big. But we have to realize that we cannot carry them through all of these things. That we need to make sure that the mistakes they make on their own, and that then they go to Christ and figure it out. The biblical approach that we share with these kids, these young adults, needs to be one of diving into the Word. Diving in, and not just reading it, but studying it. And then asking those questions. It's okay to ask the questions. There are some young people that have helped me in my studies. And I say this because I had the privilege of interviewing 15 of our young adults, just sitting with them and saying to them, okay, tell me about this. Tell me about our community. Tell me about our church. Tell me about me as a pastor. Tell me about the things you like and you don't like and have complete freedom to do so. So they did. And they said to me that some of the things that they found in the church were quite scary. And I will quote those things for you in a moment. But the things that they want to see from us and from our church is that the church should be a place that is like a hospital for the sick. It should be a place where the lost and the lonely and the less fortunate are accepted and received. The church must be prepared, it must be equipped. And when I say church, that means you. Because as the kids learned this week, the church is simply a building. You are the family of God that makes up the church. So we must be prepared and equipped with the attitude of Christ. We need to seek Him as individuals daily. We need to make sure that if there is change needed in our lives, that those children see that change happening. Change is a difficult word, and I apologize if I use it. But if we do not change to meet the needs of the next generation in 10 years, there will not be the church. We must desire transformation in our own lives. And as you see across the back, the children are learning about the one another's. We must make sure that we know what those one another's are. That we instruct and don't judge, we encourage and we're humble and we speak to one another, bear with one another, love one another, and are hospitable. Forgive. These are Christ-like characteristics. Our young adults outside and in the church are struggling with their own true identity. And this is one thing that came out so clear in all the studies. They do not understand their purpose anymore. They feel like they are not accepted and they are not significant. And when I read this in our scriptures from Ephesians 5, 1 to 2, it says, "The imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering." A fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. We need to be reminded that this is what identity in Christ is about. And I believe we need to teach this at an early age. We cannot wait until they're 9 or 10 or 12 or 17. The moment a child is born is when we need to start with the worship music, the praying, the praising, the prayer, and the Bible study. The minute they are born. Individuality is of great importance to this next generation, our young adults. Everything says, be an individual. Be what you want to be. It doesn't matter the consequence. Doesn't matter where or when or why you do it. Just feel good. I'm sorry, we're wrong. If we are Christian, if we are following Christ, if we are Christ-like, then we need to be set apart, we need to be different people. Our youth, our young adults need to see this, they need to hear this. And with love and compassion and godly biblical correction, they need to know that it is salvation that comes first. Jesus Christ that comes first. And prayer. I think we, as a society, have made a few mistakes. We have said, yeah, be what you want to be, and it doesn't matter at what cost. And then we, at 17, put them off into a university where they have no idea what they want to do. But it's okay to spend $100,000. Don't worry about it. Then they don't get a job. Society's different today. They have a lot of pressure. They have a lot of fears. I believe we need to say to them, have you prayed about this? Have you sought the Lord? Have you said, Jesus, what do you want me to be? 52 years old, and I'm still figuring it out. It's okay. As long as we're in his presence and in his word and on our knees, saying, God, do you need me to do something different? And then taking that time to hear him, God will make a way for our kids. But I think it's time that we stop saying, it's okay to just do whatever you want to do. There are consequences. And like I said earlier, with our own child, those consequences hurt sometimes. And sometimes they need to go through these things so that they can grow. And as parents and as fellow believers, as family of God, we need to be there, not just to pick them up after the fall, but to help them learn and understand from the mistakes that they have made. We need to demonstrate ourselves confident in our walk, in our relationship, and in our identity with Jesus Christ. Do you know who you are in Christ today? Are you confident in your identity? If a young person were to come to you and say, who are you in Jesus? Would you be able to answer that question? I believe that security in this world has been lost for them. I believe that there has been way too much condemnation of this next generation. We have literally put two people out to work, and I'm not saying this is wrong. This is something that is relevant today, and we both need to work in our families. I get it, so we can make a living. But we also need to make time for our families and our spouses. Otherwise, the family as we know it will crumble. But security has been lost in our children's lives. Security in what the family is, security in who they are in Christ, confidence. They need the confidence back that they once had. There are many things that are affecting them, as I said earlier. They have to have the better grades so they can get to the better university. And then they have to figure out where that money is coming from, because quite often the parents can't afford that anymore. The job markets are, it's not where it used to be. My son's graduating class still has 70%, and this is 5 years ago, I believe he graduated, 70% of that class is still not in a job relevant to what they learned and received their degree for. This is the truth of today. Some of them can't even get a job at McDonald's because they are too qualified. Because they were told, if you only go back and get your master's, if you only go back and get your doctorate, So now they're $150,000 in debt, and there's no job there for them. We need to walk alongside them. We need to love them, we need to care for them, and we need to make sure that we are being relevant, genuine, authentic adults who will cradle them when needed. This is a quote from a book that I've read called Goodbye Generation by David Sawyer. This generation needs God moments. They want purpose in their Christian walk. Their satisfaction comes from knowing their sacrifice and through the toil, not in vain. Simply attending services is not bringing what they need. They want joy and satisfaction that are found when they are doing what they were created to do. We need to understand that our children have been made in God's likeness, that they were created to belong to Him and walk in relationship with Him, that they are significant and that they matter. And what they are seeing is some things that really don't line up. If I may share a few things with you that I believe we have lacked as our generation, is number one, empowering the next generation. And I know that we all fail. All churches fail at this, including the one that I'm at, where we say, yeah, come on along and do this, right? We get a new family in, perhaps, or a young person, Rhianna, and I'm going to use you as an example. I consider you a young adult, okay? So we get someone like Rhianna, and we put her in a position, okay? In a position in the church. And then what do? We complain and we torment and we don't listen to. We do this everywhere, every church. We say, let's empower this person because they're of the next generation, and then we complain about it. Instead of coming alongside and saying, man, what an amazing job. Allow me to encourage you. Allow me to pray with you. And maybe I'm better at this than you are, so can I walk alongside you and mentor you in this? We need to empower this next generation so that we have healthy, strong, vibrant, authentic leaders in our churches who walk with Christ and look like Christ. Our values and our morals are no longer being taught. And that's our fault. That's our fault. We cannot water down the Word of God. This next generation needs to hear what the Word is for the Word. They don't want to hear watered down, flowery messages. They want the truth. And then they want to walk out that truth, believe it or not. We need to listen to this next generation. We need to observe them. We need to pray with them. We need to take interest in them. Here are some of the comments in those interviews. I asked them what they thought about church, and this was their response. Have you walked into a church lately, Kathy? Church today is a place where secluded, judgmental, hypocritical people gather and lack authentic relationships. They go to gather to worship. Yet in the hallways, I hear them talking about each other. And moments later, they're in the sanctuary with their hands raised. That was one person. Another young lady. Can we not just focus on faith and our relationships with Jesus and the beauty that these things possess, rather than have endless expressions of church doctrine that are shoved down our throats? A young man. Scripture says, Luke 10:27, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Are we doing this? Another one said, the church continues to turn off, turn away, and repel those who truly need Jesus. Those of us who are here have him, but those who are outside don't. We need to stop repelling them. These are the thoughts of some of our young people that I had the privilege of meeting with and speaking with. I believe that all are welcome in the kingdom of God, And I believe that all should be welcome into this place that we call church. So let's start by being relevant and real and authentic and transparent. We need to allow our young adults to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that is at work in them, enabling them to be who God wants them to be. The church will have an impact, I believe, on the next generation. I've been at Expert Baptist for 5 years now, and I am starting to see the change of the labors that we have been putting in. There wasn't a young adults program when I arrived there, and it was something that God spoke to me about, and that was just bringing them in and loving them for who they are. It doesn't matter if there's a disability. It doesn't matter if they don't know Jesus yet. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing, is introducing them to Jesus? So I believe there is a hope for the next generation. I believe that there are kids that are going to rise up by this congregation that will be pastors, speakers, prayer warriors, people that greet at the door. We just need to empower them. We just need to give them opportunity to be who they were created to be. I remember having a talk with a friend, John McCulley. He's actually a writer and he's a pastor and he's heavily involved in the next generation. And he said to me, I will never ever forget the day that I recognized and realized that my parents' faith was real. He said, I was raised in the church, yet I didn't really know if my parents were who they really acted like. He said, and then one day I took the long walk down the hallway in my home. He said, I reached my father's and mother's bedroom. The door was open. And I saw my parents on their knees with the scripture open on their beds. And they were praying the word, reading the word aloud, and praying for me. It was that moment, he said, that my life was changed and transformed because I saw authentic faith being lived out, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. I believe that the example that Paul walking beside Timothy is a beautiful example that I want to give to you today. 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for all believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. When Paul was instructing Timothy, scholars believe that Timothy was in his late 20s or his early 30s. And Timothy was definitely a man that was called by God. He had an amazing mentor in Paul. He was reminded and he was instructed that he needed to remember his own conduct before people. Now, I'm speaking to myself here as well. Because as a leader, if I am not walking out and living out my faith, then I am not an example for anyone. If I am not real, if I am not authentic, if I am not following what Christ has asked me to do, then I am not an example. Paul's principle here was that maturity does not necessarily mean age. It means the wisdom and what has been given to us by God, that the young should not be looked down on. Timothy needed to learn about being strong in character. And Paul was teaching him this so that he would learn the respect that he needed to have to live a godly life. And then none of the criticism that he was already receiving would come his way. Three things that he learned that were very critical and that we need to remember now as leaders for the next generation are these three things. Conquer your tongue. James 3:2 speaks about this. Indeed, we all make mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. I believe the scripture speaks for itself. How many times have we been caught, or not caught, speaking? speaking of others. That's the hypocrisy the next generation is talking about. The second thing that Timothy needed to learn was godly living that earns respect must come with more than words. If we do not have consistent behavior inside the church and outside the church, in our home and in a restaurant, in a car or on a bus, if we are not consistent in our behaviors and our actions, then what we say means nothing to the next generation. Consistent behavior and actions. Third, Timothy learned this. The attitude of heart will always be communicated regardless of our words or our actions. If we have Christ within us, truly have accepted him, and want to be sold out for Jesus, then we will have that unconditional love for anyone that we meet. For the youngest person, right through to the oldest person. So we need to remember, conquer our tongues, just as Paul was teaching Timothy, have a godly life, consistent behavior, and an attitude of heart that is of Christ. Timothy learned that he must understand and live out this type of attitude with excellence so that he could be an effective minister that was respected to others. Not to be perfect by any means, but to be transparent, real, accepting, honest, and pure. He even needed to learn that when blame was to come his way, that he needed to receive that if it was due. Paul taught Timothy to have an attitude that would inspire others around him, that he could be a man of integrity, no matter what his age was. Out of all those that Paul trained, Timothy was the one that was closest to his heart. He was anointed by God. He had to fight cultural barriers because of that word change. And he had to stand up before those who may not have wanted to hear what he had to say. I believe there is so much to learn in that one scripture for us today. That we need to take the examples of being a mentor like Paul was to Timothy. That we need to learn what Timothy learned. And that we need to be Christ-like in all that we do. It sounds like a downer, what I've told you today, but what I want to say is this. We serve a God who is alive. We serve a God who is committed to all generations. And we serve a God who loves you. And he loves the lost. He loves the weak, the brokenhearted. So let's be proud of that. Let's be awakened by this. And let's be on fire, knowing that we, each one of you, can make a difference with the giftedness that you have to change this next generation. Do not leave them in a place of floundering and feeling that there is no purpose, but bring them to a place of love, unconditional love, where they can meet Jesus Christ first and foremost. Learn to serve him and feel effective in their ministry and be filled with that joy that he promises us. Let us meet this next generation where they are. And if they're not here, then do yourselves and Jesus a favor and go and find them. Spend time in Walmart, in McDonald's, at the skateboard park, at the swimming pool. Go where you will meet this next generation that needs him. Because if you do not go, they will not be found. Remember, first and foremost, that you need to have that vertical relationship, that personal walk with Christ, that it needs to be authentic and live it out. Don't just speak it, live it out. And then the horizontal, it will come. Pray that your gifts would be used. Pray that Christ would make a difference in and through you for his kingdom. for today and for tomorrow. Let's bow our heads. God, today, we just want to come to you and say thank you that you love us so deeply, that you have a compassion for us that matches nothing else. Lord, you are amazing. God, you have allowed the next generations to be born. You have allowed the next generations to come into this place even. Lord, I thank you that there are children in this church. I thank you there are people here that love children. I thank you, God, that you want to change us, that you want to transform us and make us more like you. God, I know it's hard sometimes because there are people that hate change. But Lord, if we do not change for the better and recognize there is a lost generation, then where will we be? So I pray, Lord God, that you would awaken those who are sitting here today whose heart might be pounding because the Spirit is knocking at their heart, that they would get on their knees, get on their face before you, that they would listen to you, and that they would do the labor that is required. God, there can be a harvest in Newmarket. There can be a next generation revival. I believe this. There is a hope and there is a future because your plan for us is far greater than the plans that we have for ourselves. Empower these people, give them the grace they need, and give them the warm hug they need when they're feeling down. May we not be found judging, but may we be found merciful and loving. And we pray this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
So this is going to come as a great shock to you, but we didn't know what Kathy was going to talk on today, but the last song just fits so perfectly. It's kind of uncanny, shocker. It's by Robin Mark, and I was on his website earlier this week reading about this song, because I didn't, you know, it's one of those songs that was sung for 20 years and don't really know what it means, and it's the days of Elijah. And when Robin Mark went through, he describes the song as being a song of hope. He sees things happening in the world today that are parallels to what have always happened throughout time. And he starts out with he's got, you know, Ezekiel, who's preaching the destruction of Jerusalem, this kind of thing, that, you know, as we heard today, like, things are not going well, people. You know, we need action. But it's the word of God. Ezekiel spoke God's words to dry bones in a valley, and they came to life. Life is there, people. It just needs to hear the word. And so he goes to all these prophets, and each one of them has a role in sort of bringing God's word to our world.
It is my hope and my prayer today that you would leave this place feeling encouraged, knowing that in Christ all things are possible. Leave this place today remembering the word joy, that Jesus is the reason we are here, that others come next, and then you. And that's okay, because when we walk in the ways of Jesus, all things will come to be because of the plan he has for you in your life. Go and be blessed, and be a blessing to others. Take care.